evening and welcome to the Stu Peters Show. So the global censorship wall that's been protecting Pfizer and its shots is crumbling all around the world. Spectator is a major publication based in the United Kingdom, but with branches across the English-speaking world. And in the Spectator's Australian edition, they just did what was basically impossible 2 years ago. Unthinkable just a few months ago. They went and actually wrote about the people looking at what's in these COVID shots. Last week, Rebecca Weiser wrote a peace profile on Dr. David Nixon, a guest on this program, and his ongoing efforts to analyze the vials of Pfizer vaccine. Well, as Weiser points out, this is a more gutsy move than it seems at first. In the United States, the contract between Pfizer and the U.S. government prohibits turning over vaccine vials for independent research. Why? Supposedly because every single vial is so important for saving lives, or whatever. Well, is the same true in Australia? I don't know. But whether it is or not, it hasn't stopped Dr. Nixon. Here's part of Weiser's piece, quote, "Is there graphene oxide in the Pfizer shots? What Nixon found and filmed is bizarre, to say the least. Inside a single droplet of vaccine are strange mechanical structures. They seem motionless at first, but when Nixon used time-lapse photography to condense 48 hours of footage into just 2 minutes, it showed what appear to be mechanical arms assembling and disassembling glowing rectangular structures that look like circuitry and microchips. These are not manufactured products in the CDC's words because they can't construct and deconstruct themselves. But the formation of the crystals seems to be stimulated by electromagnetic radiation and stops when the slide with the vaccine is shielded by a Faraday bag. Nixon's findings are similar to those of teams in New Zealand, Germany, Spain, and South Korea." Unquote. Weiser goes on to point out what we've been pointing out for months, almost years, on this show. The death rate in highly vaccinated countries is up. Way up. And it's not just because of supposed COVID cases. Don't let them gaslight you. No, it's all kinds of causes. Heart attacks. Weird super cancers. Cardiac arrest. Diabetes. Almost all causes of death are higher. In Australia, deaths were up 17% in July over average last July. In England, deaths are 16% above the average. The highest excess mortality at any point since COVID-19, whatever that is, began. In the United States, mortality is up by 18% for both people over 80 and people in their 30s. And normally, we'd expect lower death rates right now because there were already excess deaths the last 2 years due to the murders in these hospitals labeled as COVID deaths. But the death rate isn't falling. It's still rising. As we have been pointing out on this program, something incredibly dark is happening. And for 2 years now, the press and big tech and our bureaucrats and our medical industrial complex and our politicians have all been suppressing it. But now their lies are crumbling because they can't hide what's happening. You can't hide 15 or 20% more people dying month after month after month. There are millions of people happy to repeat official lies or to believe them. But there are also millions of us, people who will not believe the lies forever, whose commitment is to the truth, and whose commitment to truth is more powerful than any lie. And we're speaking out more and more in more and more venues. It's not just a rise in death rates, by the way. There's also been a serious, measurable rise in the number of people reporting all kinds of disabilities, whether you call it long COVID, whatever that is, or something else. More and more people seem incapable of living healthy, normal lives. Dr. Anna Maria Mihalcha is Dr. Nixon's collaborator in investigating these COVID shots. She joins us now to discuss how this rise in disability may be a direct result of vaccine shedding from the shots. Dr. Mihalcha, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is finally starting to happen. People with major publications cannot ignore any longer this amount of people that is becoming either disabled, life-changing injuries, or dying suddenly?
Absolutely. And we have so many questions because now we have a number of scientists that are coming forward who also did investigations on the vials looking for the mRNA and they didn't find it. So, for example, Dr. Kevin McKern has analyzed Pfizer and Moderna shot, found no phosphorus or nitrogen, which is needed to build any mRNA. This corroborates what Dr. Daniel Legasse from Canada said. The same thing was found by Steve Kirsch's team. He admitted on his Substack that they investigated the vials and found no mRNA. Now we have the data also from the European Medicine Agency that actually evaluated the fact that the mRNA was fragmented, that there was truncated mRNA, meaning defective, that there was double-strand RNA. And then the other thing that occurred was that the product of protein synthesis, which would be the spike protein, has a certain size, 180 Daltons. They found all kinds of proteins, and there were all kinds of sizes, but not 180 Daltons. So what exactly was being produced from these injections? So if the mRNA is defective, then we're not making spike protein. And then the proteins that are being found are something other than what the vaccine companies are telling us. This is really important because so many people are saying, well, people are getting ill from the spike protein. Well, if we have vials that don't even contain any mRNA, that means there's no reverse transcription into the DNA. That means these people don't make the spike protein. So for that subset of people that have defective mRNA in their shots, what are they getting ill from? And that explains also or poses questions about what exactly is shedding. Again, me and my colleagues, we've been looking at live blood analysis, a methodology poo-pooed by conventional allopathic doctors and hematologists. But if you're looking, you may find something that you weren't expecting. So we're seeing in vaccinated blood unusual structures that are huge and that are the same structures that we have found in the Pfizer vials, especially Dr. David Nixon, for example, or Shimon Janovitz have found that there are these ribbons growing in the vials if the vaccine content is being dried or being observed. So this same thing is being observed in the live blood of vaccinated people. So I've been researching shedding for a long time. It's clearly a phenomenon. We've discussed that I've used the D-dimer as a marker. So now I have the same microscope as Dr. David Nixon. And guess what I find? The same structures that are in the vaccinated blood are also in unvaccinated blood, in people who never had COVID, but they have what's called long COVID symptoms. So what is that ribbon that we are calling possibly graphene? We don't really know. Is it hydrogel? What is the composition of it? Clearly, it is also associated with this elevated D-dimer because in the live blood, you can see how the blood is clumping around him and how the immune system is trying to degrade this. So we have the following questions. Number one, are these structures also frequency sensitive? Could it be that we have to also warn the unvaccinated now from shedding potentially from Wi-Fi frequency? Is this an environmental exposure as well? Because we found the same structures like Matt Taylor showed in rainwater, we found it in surgical masks, we found it in nasal swabs, we found it in all kinds of other venues. And so it's very concerning. And the one thing that I'm certain of is that we've been lied to, that the entire pandemic has been deceptive. And what my concern is that maybe the spike protein narrative is another deception.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, this is bio warfare is what this is. You mentioned Matt Taylor showing these things, this self-assembling circuitry. When he put it near an internet router, near a cell phone, brought it near a tower, 5G tower, these things change. They come back together again. They start moving again. When he took it away or in the absence of these frequencies, they disassemble on their own. Why is looking at a patient's blood somehow like pseudoscience to these other doctors? What, I mean, Isn't that where we find anomalies? By looking at people's blood? Isn't that how we find clotting? Isn't that how we find inflammation? Isn't that how we find certain forms of cancer? Examining one's blood is like the oldest exam that exists in medical care. I mean, am I wrong?
I don't think that you're wrong. I think that it has been taken away from allopathic medicine and has been completely now automated. And so people aren't used to looking at blood anymore. But the concern is that now that we are, you know, we're seeing these ribbons excreted from sweat of vaccinated people, which could be one mode of shedding. We have now seen it in the urine of unvaccinated people. They are peeing out these structures. So I think that what we need to do is look at this and then also look at therapeutics. As you know, I'm working on that and seeing what exactly dissolves this. EDTA chelation appears to be very promising, but we have to have much more doctors who are looking at these different specific findings and seeing what exactly clears the blood. This stuff was already found over a year ago by Dr. Philippa Veldbergen and has been basically ignored by mainstream physicians and even frontline doctors. They don't use microscopes, but maybe we should open our minds and now take a look and really again question the narrative about absolutely everything.
Yeah, we've been doing that for 2 years. I agree with you 100%. So if there's no mRNA in these vials, and if the people aren't producing the spike protein, but yet something is still making people sick, what's your speculation?
So first of all, obviously we haven't looked at millions of vials. So some vials do not contain mRNA or just fragments. Okay. So, but for those people, there are these metals that are extremely toxic. We discussed aluminum, radioactive cesium, all kinds of other things like tellurium, tungsten. Those alone cause severe toxicity and disabling symptoms. But then we also have this other stuff, technology that appears to be growing out of the lipid nanoparticles. So clearly, for example, Steve Kirsch's group found the lipid nanoparticles, as did Dr. Kern's group, and Szymon Janowicz incubated them and showed that the structures that we're seeing, the technology grows out of those. And so that is an important component here to say, hey, is this the delivery system for the Internet of Things? You know, hooking up people, as we discussed, as cyborgs, you know, and really changing their consciousness through this very complex novel technology. I think that we need to be asking these questions and regardless of what is happening, explain to me our findings. This is what I have to say to every scientist on the planet who is discrediting, who is saying that these huge ribbons are fiber. No, they're not. And then explain to me, what are these assembling and self-assembling things? They're not supposed to be there. Who are sensitive to Wi-Fi? So these are not cholesterol crystals. It's not salt crystals. Explain what this is doing in a vaccine. And then, Stu, since the regulators obviously don't want to pull this thing, regardless of how many deaths and illnesses we have, we need people standing up and start protesting on the street and getting really mad that this was injected into people, stuff that they did not sign up for and that they did not consent for. So where's the outrage?
5.5 billion injections. 5.5 billion people have been, quote unquote, vaccinated, inoculated with this, whatever this is. When they learn what has been done to them, there's not going to be a place for these monsters to hide. Dr. Mihalcha, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Are you getting sick all the time? The bioweapon boosted are breaking our immune systems. Chemtrails fill the skies. Don't fear the shedpocalypse. Destroy impurities. Protect your children with the future of air purification. TrustFilterSuck.com.
Watch how quickly our machine pulls out dust, shedding, quantum dots, mold, bacteria, viruses, anything that grandma might have brought over from Boosterville, California. We drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance.
Sleep easy with 24/7 protection. Get a unit for your home or the portable device to shield your kids at school. Use promo code STU for huge discounts. FilterSuck.com, your antidote against poison in the air.
We're exposing the toxic poison in these so-called health foods that we have been lied to about for decades. You remember the scam, the food pyramid, and all of these health food companies what they, whoever they are, tell you, you really should eat this if you want to stay healthy. Well, guess what? There is a poisonous toxin in most of these foods. We're exposing them at gutcleanseprotocol.com/stew. Go to gutcleanseprotocol.com/stew and see which health foods to avoid. This toxin is actually adding inches to the waistline and making you perpetually unhealthy. Go to gutcleanseprotocol.com/stew. Don't feed your kids these so-called health foods and just be complacent and blindly trust what they tell you is healthy for your kids to eat. You'll be shocked at where you find this poison. Gutcleanseprotocol.com/stew. So this is kind of a big deal, actually a really big deal. You might have heard a few weeks ago that America's diesel supply had dropped down to just 25 days left. Well, the situation is now getting even more dire. According to some reports, we're now down just to a 10-day supply. So to be clear, that doesn't mean that we literally run out in 2 weeks. It means that if all production stopped, we only have enough in stock to last for 10 days of normal use. It's well below the average. That's why prices are going higher and higher, I would assume. And if there's any kind of additional supply disruption or slowdown, we're in big, big trouble. But of course, we shouldn't be surprised because our elites have essentially waged war on basic fossil fuels for decades now. They're demanding that we switch entirely to renewable wind and solar power and drive electric cars. And that's a cool idea in theory, maybe. But the thing is, we can't run society on fake wind and solar. The technology just isn't there. And we can't have everyone drive electric cars for that matter, and for the exact same reason. But instead of accepting reality, the left, if you believe in that construct, is just demanding that reality change to suit their ideological demands. And in the process, our economy is absolutely getting ripped apart. Gregory Wrightstone is a geologist and also the author of the book, The Inconvenient Facts, The Science That Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know, and he joins us now. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Oh, great to be on with you. Diesel is just one of the many problems that's confronting us right now. And these are self-inflicted wounds that we're experiencing. These are easily avoidable and easily solved problems that we're having.
Yeah, with aforethought, intentional, this is happening on purpose. Don't let them gaslight you into believing that this is some sort of a crisis that they're having to respond to. This is the crisis that they have created on purpose. So how concerned are you, Mr. Wrightstone? How likely are we to just absolutely run out of diesel fuel? And what would that mean?
Well, I don't think it'll be that we will run out per se, but I think it's certainly, if this continues, bear in mind, I just read that we've not had this low of supply in diesel since 1951. Well, if that's true, we've got many, many times as many diesel vehicles right now that require all that. So in 1951, they had a crisis. Well, think how bad it is today with all that many more vehicles that you even drive a diesel powered vehicle. So it's certainly shortages that are looming. It could have been worse. There were two large tankers that were destined for Europe with diesel, but the Americans companies overpaid and had them delivered to the fuel oil to the eastern United States, to the seaboard facilities. So what we've seen here, one of the causes is that we've had a shutdown of refineries across the United States. So we've got a lack of distillate capacity for refining capacity. We see it with gasoline, but it's accentuated with what we call the distillates. That's diesel and home heating fuel. They're very similar, and they basically come out of the same refineries. And so with a lack of refinery capacity, and we're also looking at a lack of feedstock with this deliberate destruction and downplaying of the oil and gas industry in the United States by the Biden administration.
What's the ripple effect of this? Think about agricultural, over-the-road trucking, shipping. I mean, what are we looking at?
I'm not going to, you said don't sugarcoat it. I'm not going to. It's bad. Because when everything moves with diesel, everything you buy in the store, it was brought to that store. You go to the CVS pharmacy, your local food, your food store to buy your turkey for Thanksgiving. That turkey was brought there in a diesel powered truck. When that diesel's now over $5 per gallon and looking like it's going to go a lot higher, that's just going to directly add on to everything we pay for all the goods and services, food, washing machines. Everything needs to be delivered by diesel. It's really just a snowballing effect that we're seeing here. And again, it's it looks Joe Biden, before he was elected, when he was running in the primary, he said this is, he told us what he was going to do. And he keeps repeating it. Last week, he said, I'm going to kill the coal business. I want to shut down, no more drilling. He says, listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. No more drilling.
Well, that's what he's being told by whoever his handlers, his puppeteers are, because I don't believe that Joe Biden is actually on purpose running anything. I don't even think he knows where he is half the time. International embarrassment.
Yeah, we've got, in the United States here, I know a little bit about the energy business. I was a geologist, and I was the co-author, actually, of the first peer-reviewed comprehensive paper on the largest natural gas field in the world. That's the Marcellus Shale. And to give you an idea that people don't realize just how much we have here in the United States. At the time, we looked at the top 10 conventional natural gas fields in the world, and those top 10 gas fields in the world combined weren't as big as the Marcellus in terms of gas in place. Think about that. The 10 largest natural gas fields didn't equal the Marcellus. That's how much natural gas we have. We also have similar abundances of oil that's still left in the ground. A lot of that in Alaska. That was the first and second day in office. Joe said no to ANWR, no to the National Petroleum Reserve, which is untapped oil in the ground in Alaska. It's different from the strategic.
Yeah, the Keystone XL pipeline, the list goes on and on. We're sitting here at November 14th being told that there's a 10-day supply left. That puts us right at Thanksgiving Day, just in time for the holidays. I mean, how specific are they in their planning? Shutting down family visits, don't, you know, stay away from grandma, COVID-19, make sure you wear your three masks, be quadruple boosted if you can. Does all this kind of play together, in your opinion?
Well, we heard COP27 just concluding in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt right now, and they're saying out loud what we've all suspected. John Kerry just 2 days ago said that the COVID lockdowns were a template for what they can, what we can do for climate. We saw how easy it was to shut down the country over COVID, and they need to do the same thing now because of climate change, because we're all going to die from man-made catastrophic warming. And let me tell you what we here at the CO2 Coalition, what we research and find is the combination of warming, modest warming, and increasing CO2 is leading to Earth's ecosystems that are thriving and prospering, and humanity is benefiting for modest warming and more CO2, just opposite of what you're being told.
So climate change is a never-ending panic, fear porn, fear-ginning up concoction, man-made thing that people like Al Gore and the powers that be will use to perpetually trample all over freedom and individual liberty and rights and lockdowns in the name of climate. So with that and pandemics being put together, they kind of have the perfect formula here for totalitarianism, don't they?
It is. And Greta Thunberg, the now 19-year-old Swedish girl that went on the school strike to protest climate change just last week, she said, this isn't about environmentalism. We need to shut down Western governments and destroy capitalism. She said out loud what we all have been thinking. John Kerry said out loud what we've been thinking about comparing COVID lockdowns to climate lockdowns. They're not beating around the bush right now. They're stating this. I try to stay away from politics and stick with the science, but they're coming right out and linking Marxism and anti-capitalism with climate.
And Greta Thunberg is an idiot and a psyop, and it's clear that she's a CIA asset, obviously. I mean, where did this girl come from, and why do people even pay attention to her? Why when she opens her mouth, should anybody listen at all, Mr. Wrightstone?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure it's CIA, more likely Russian. I mean, who benefits from this? Really, it's the Chinese. They're going great guns, building coal-fired power plants right and left. And they're, because what they want to do in India, they want to provide there are three things when I talk about energy and electricity: affordability, reliability, and abundant energy. And you only get that with the fossil fuels. What they want to do, and India's charging forward, I think Prime Minister Modi has a goal of complete 100% electrification. They've got 600 million people in India living in energy poverty without electricity. They're cooking food in their homes over dried dung and wood, leading to horrible disease. I think Prime Minister Modi in India wants to lift these people up. I think President Xi in China wouldn't care one whit one way or the other about his people up in Xinjiang province or wherever it is. He wants to be the economic powerhouse of the world. And you're not going to get that with wind and solar. You're going to get that from fossil fuels. And man, they're going crazy building new coal-fired plants, completely overwhelming any attempts we might have to rein in our CO2 emissions, which, by the way, I love. If you look in the back of my SUV, I've got a bumper sticker that says, I love CO2. And that's kind of our motto right now here at the CO2 Coalition is we love CO2 and so should you.
Well, you'll be happy to know that my Duramax diesel expands my carbon footprint all over the upper Midwest on a daily basis. I pull around boats that have big motors on them and I drive them around at full speed. Yeah, I mean, we're blowing the carbon right out and keeping those injectors and those cylinders clean, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're here at the CO2 Coalition. Heads will be exploding here in about 3 weeks when we roll out our educational initiative for children. We have a series of science books, along with lesson plans. We already have our YouTube channel, CO2 Learning Center. It's targeting children with really entertaining, the books are manga style. The videos are anime style. So we want to reach that audience. We want to give them science without the alarmism.
Yeah. This is the kind of education where a child learns more spending one day with Gregory Wrightstone than they do spending an entire month being indoctrinated on critical race theory and transgender propaganda. Make sure that you go get the book, The Science That Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know. The truth is, it's called Inconvenient Facts. Inconvenient Facts is the name of the book. The Science That Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know. The real science. Gregory Wrightstone, thank you so much. Welcome back anytime. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
For the first time in a millennia, a famine of biblical proportion is hitting the earth, and it's by design. War has created scarcity. Fertilizer production has been wiped out.
The price of fertilizer is up 128%.
Food processing plants are exploding. Herds of cows are being massacred and buried.
This is a very abnormal event.
The Great Reset demons have created the crisis, but a generation of great resistors following King Jesus have the solution.
HeavensHarvest.com. Get there right now.
Prepare for the worst by trusting the best. HeavensHarvest.com has a delicious plan to conquer starvation. It's real food, high quality, tastes great.
It's actually really good.
Trust Heaven's Harvest today. Order food for the year and a bucket of heirloom seeds. Affordable, available, ready for the fight ahead. HeavensHarvest.com.
Everything that the world has told you is completely upside down, especially when it comes to your health. People avoid chocolate because they think they're going to get fat or they're going to get acne or oily skin or it's bad for your health. No. EarthEchoFoods.com. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com right now and enjoy rich, decadent, and creamy chocolate with all of the health benefits that are provided by originating with organic cocoa beans, naturally kissed by the sun. They add turmeric and MCT oil and sea salt and cracked pepper. It is perfect. It's good for your health. Actually reduces inflammation. Makes you feel the best that you've ever felt. Plus, it tastes unbelievably great. EarthEchoFoods.com right now. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com. Health authorities are reporting a big surge in RSV cases across America. You know, that's worrisome because unlike COVID-19, whatever that is, RSV actually is a respiratory disease and it can actually hurt and even kill children. But Dr. Jane Ruby says the truth about this is being hidden. This isn't just another viral outbreak. Jane says that this is another product of gain-of-function research, and it's being exploited to prep another round of mandatory mRNA injections. Great, just what we need. Dr. Jane Ruby joins us now. So, I mean, David Copperfield would just be having a heyday here. For my next trick, I'm going to make monkeypox disappear. Remember that? And now we have RSV. How concerned are you about this?
Well, I like to use the words of the criminals, Stu. For example, let me read this brief sentence from the CDC's own website. Respiratory syncytial virus is a common respiratory virus that usually causes, ready, mild, cold-like symptoms. And here's the kicker, Stu. Most people recover in a week or two. That sounds like the common cold to me. And here's the point.
Sounds like COVID-19 to me.
It could be it's the pattern of COVID-19. I think two things are happening. I think there could be a gain of function that has affected this common cold virus to target babies, to get them into a more serious, so that they have something to talk about in terms of, hey, these hospitals are overflowing. And in addition to that, using that as an excuse, because Stu, they're coming out with what they're calling the triple vaccine, right? The triple demic. You know, they're fear mongering. You don't want to get the triple demic, which is COVID-19, RSV, right? And
influenza or something. Yes.
Right. Influenza. Now, how do you diagnose RSV? Here's a major red flag, everybody.
PCR test. I knew it.
Thank you. So you're going to have two things going on, just like you did with COVID. They ginned something up that's making babies and children sick, scaring the elderly now again to finish them off. And then they're going to come out with a triple hit vaccine that you are going to belly up to for fear of getting any of these things. Look, we can't vaccine our way out of every mild illness. A real vaccine should only be developed for something that, watch this, takes out large swaths of the population, like without any warning. That's what you're trying to prevent. Not every single thing that could affect human beings. So I want people to, Sue, I want people to think twice about this, to remember the pattern of COVID-19 so that they're not sucked into this fear mongering and belly up for these shots, because it's just going to get worse and worse and worse.
People are panicking. I've had conversations with people that I know about their children. They've all come down with something. You know, you better watch out. They're all sick. Hello, it's fall going into winter.
It's a cold.
Of course they're getting sick. Kids are supposed to get sick. You have snotty little germ-spreading kids with green boogers running around at school every single fall. It runs through the school. And then, I mean, I'm no doctor, but I believe that I've been taught that is what is supposed to happen, and that strengthens and bolsters one's immune system.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, the other thing to consider is these companies are they're racing, Moderna, Pfizer, and a whole bunch of other lesser known companies, to come up with a vaccine against RSV and then get that into the childhood schedule. Stu, one of the things I'm going to be talking about later this week is the results of these Pfizer Moderna trials, especially the Moderna data that hasn't even been published yet. I think they're probably going to hide it, that showed that a large portion of those babies and children who got these shots for their fake RSV vaccine actually got more RSV than the uninjected children. People, pay attention, please.
Wait. That sounds all too familiar. People who got this so-called vaccine for COVID-19 were over 4,200 times more likely to get sick as a result. At what point do we just put a complete moratorium on all vaccines? These pharmaceutical companies are not manufacturing vaccines that produce immunity and that kill pandemics. They are producing bioweapons that kill you.
Yep, little by little, pacing it out.
COVID-19, whatever that was, did not affect kids. Virtually no kids died from it. Kids were at practically zero risk of having a serious illness from this bioweapon that we're not going to call a respiratory virus. Anybody who's still calling it a respiratory virus is either one, completely clueless, two, deceiving you intentionally as controlled opposition, or three, they are in on a plot to genocide the world. So it's never been a respiratory virus.
The only children dying are those dying suddenly of the shots.
Yeah. And so now that they knew that, and now that the whole world is basically onto the fact that, hey, listen, these mask mandates in the schools, they have to go away. My kid is not getting injected with this, whatever this is, just to attend public school to be indoctrinated about the importance of transgenderism and systemic racism, and be subjected to poisonous, racist, critical race theory, toxic nonsense, BS, and programmed to hate themselves if their skin color happens to be white. I'm not having my kid injected with this gene-altering, nanotechnology, self-assembling circuitry shot just to have my kid go back. So people are waking up. People are largely starting to wake up. And come November 21st, when Died Suddenly premieres at StuPeters.com at 5 p.m. Eastern, the whole jig is up. I predict that more people will view that film than watched the Titanic. Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. You know, people have to get in front of in front of these people. You have to get in front of your elected representatives. You have to get in front of every camera that you can find. You have to grab your signs and be in front of every single school. People by the millions should be out in front of the CDC and the FDA. People should be protesting outside of their clinics. People should be protesting outside of pharmacies. Anybody who has the technology or the means to deliver these injections to anybody, they should be feeling the pain. It is time to up the pain level and deliver the pain. Deliver the pressure. Hold these people accountable right now. More of the Stu Peters Show next.
The boosters are killing millions.
Not a vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey, folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID, but I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapon sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning,
Temple. That's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com.
It's time to increase the pressure. It's time to turn up the pressure. Truth, exposure, and accountability. It's time to bring the pain. Speaking of pain, if you have pain, chronic pain, joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain, arthritic pain, migraine headaches, allergies, if you're dealing with Parkinson's symptoms, if you're dealing with ADHD or have a child who's dealing with ADHD, stay away from these big pharmaceutical company neurotoxins and poisons and injections. Try CBD. There are reports all over the internet, people using CBD for things that you would not believe. We're talking major illnesses here. People with huge amounts of symptoms. Pain that you don't have to deal with. Try CBD from Curable. That's K-U-R-I-B-L, Curable.com. Why do I use Curable? Well, Curable's a family-owned business. That's important to me. It's not some big globalist conglomerate corporation. They're not hiding, you know, lipid nanoparticles and mRNA and spike proteins in your CBD. Because we know where it comes from. Reason number two that I use Curable, the family-owned business. All of the hemp is sourced right here in my home state of Minnesota. I know right where it comes from. And reason number three, you get 20% off site-wide on everything, all of the oils, the creams, the balms, everything. THC and non-THC products available. Go to Curable.com, K-U-R-I-B-L. Go to Curable.com. Use promo code STU at checkout for 20% off at Curable.com. So we've made the statement on this program multiple times. We believe elections are rigged. We think the whole system is just fake and gay. We've received some pushback, of course, from the mainstream press on that. But Melissa Isaac might agree. She's a captain in the Alabama National Guard, as well as a defense attorney and founder of the Isaac Law Firm. Her specialty is men involved in family law cases. But in addition to that, Melissa is also an ally of Mike Lindell in his various election security legal efforts around the country. Well, recently, Melissa passed on to us what she believes is evidence of fraud, or at least exposure to fraud and hacking in the Alabama voting system. Well, as you would expect in any functioning democracy, Alabama law requires the electronic components of its voting systems to be inspected and certified. And this is everything. The check-in pads, the tabulators, the laptops used to electronically transmit results. If you change any part of that system, you need a new inspection and a new certification. That's how you prevent hacking or fraud. Hello? Well, now, according to what Melissa has told us, the last time Alabama certified its systems is December of last year. But Alabama's election systems have not stayed the same since then. In January of this year, Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill purchased a set of new laptops from Dell and distributed them across the state. Well, according to the purchase order, which is public, these laptops have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connectivity so they can connect to the internet. These laptops, we are informed, have not been certified. This is the system that was just used in the primary and general elections this year in Alabama. Well, according to Melissa, there's already video evidence, we'll take a look at it, of a voting machine in Lee County, Alabama, being tricked into accepting and counting fake ballots. It's caught on video. She has the video. We'll show it to you momentarily. Well, when this was brought to the attention of election officials, they did exactly nothing. And this is in Alabama, a supposed red state, if you believe in that construct, with Republican officials holding every major office of importance. Think about what might be going on everywhere else. Well, now Melissa and her team are bringing a lawsuit against the state to stop this before it ends up in disaster for the state and its people. Melissa Isaac joins us now. Is it too late? Is this already a disaster for the entire country?
You know, listening to your opening statements here and listening to you're explaining what we have going on in Alabama, you're right, we're a red state. And you would think that we have to worry about this. Our Secretary of State, John Merrill, says that we have the gold standard, right, of elections, that nobody can cheat here. It's not possible. And our state law says that our systems, right, they have to be inspected and they have to be certified. Now, they have to be inspected by someone who doesn't have a monetary interest in the outcome of the inspection, right? But that's not the case in Alabama. Our vendors who are making money off of using our system are actually the ones who are, quote unquote, inspecting our systems. So that's against state law, number one. Well, number two, so we have these laptops that were ordered in January of 2022. So the system is all the components that you need from the time that you get there, right? They have these pin pads and you give them your ID and you check in and they give you a ballot. You run it through the tabulator. And then there are these laptops that have to be that are used to transmit the results. Okay. Well, the whole thing constitutes a system. So if there's, like you said, there's any change in the components, anything has to be upgraded, there has to be a new inspection and certification. Well, when we filed our lawsuit, we knew that it looked like everything was being rubber stamped. There was no meaningful inspection. There wasn't really a certification. They would say, well, you know, we have the minutes from the Electronic Voting Committee, they're defendants here. And they would say, so long as it doesn't connect to the internet, then we'll be okay. We'll go ahead and certify these things. Well, in December of 2021, prior to us filing this lawsuit, is the last time they had certified the electronic vote system. Well, and they tell us, they said, no, these are certified. In fact, when we got to court, and the Attorney General's office, by the way, who is opposing us or defending John Merrill, defending the Electronic Voting Committee, we have this letter, right? And we have a letter that is from the Electronic Voting Committee. Is dated December 21st, 2021. And they say the Electronic Voting Committee at its December 7th, 2021 meeting voted to certify, right, the ESNS system, contingent upon none of the machines been able to connect or communicate over cellular network, right? So remember, this is December 21st of 2021. But then we go to the purchase order that you're discussing. The purchase order is dated January 13th. And in the specifications on the EMS workstation, they request Intel Wi-Fi 6, right, and Bluetooth 5.1. which flies in the face of this letter. But when we bring this letter into the courtroom, when we bring the purchase order, the Attorney General's attorney says, Your Honor, I see that this letter is actually proof that the ERM, that is the hardened laptop, was in fact certified in December of 2021. And she said, I'll withdraw my objection. And the problem with that is she's saying they were in fact certified in December of 2021. They weren't even purchased. The purchase order is January of 2022, and that didn't even click. Well, they didn't even have another meeting to inspect or certify these new systems before they went into effect. So we used uncertified, uninspected systems in our primary and in our general election. So Alabama state law is clear that says if these systems are not inspected and certified in accordance with state law, they must be immediately suspended. We file a motion for a preliminary injunction with the court. Now, it's important to know that we prove this. We prove our case. It was irrefutable. Now, there is a judge, English, who actually signed, one of Judge Bill English signed this letter from the Electronic Voting Committee. He's a probate judge in Lee County, and he heads up the Electronic Voting Committee. He was at the hearing, but he didn't testify. So John Merrill had the opportunity to come to the hearing and testify and clear the air. They could have brought us the certifications. They didn't bring us anything. They had the opportunity and they didn't. So we, the people of Alabama, we're being told by the court, even though that you prove to us, you prove that these systems are not being inspected or certified in accordance with state law, they're saying, you don't have standing. You don't have standing to bring this. Well, according to state law, the Attorney General's office, I would think, would be the one that would enforce these laws to make sure that our elections are as secure as they possibly can be. But they're ignoring our evidence that we brought to the court. They're saying, well, you don't have standing. You know, first you're saying, well, there's no proof that these things aren't inspected or certified. So we bring the proof that they're not inspected or certified. And they're just like, well, but you don't have any standing. So the court, just like they have in other states, they said, okay, they dismiss our case because of a lack of standing. Now we have a former candidate who is a plaintiff. We have a grassroots corporation is a plaintiff, and we have private citizen. So if we don't have standing, who does, is the question. So now back to Lee County, we also have a grassroots activist, Angela Shepherd, in Lee County. She goes to the public testing of the machines. Well, she has an absentee ballot. She makes just Xerox copies of the absentee ballot. She makes 8 copies. Well, she goes to the machine, goes to run it through the machine, but the paper was too wide. So she just takes a scissor and just free hands and cuts these copies of these ballots, and then the machines take it through, and it counts the ballots. It accepts them, and your ballot has been counted. Well, she then goes to Judge English, and she explains what happened, and instead of being concerned, I would be mortified if I was an election official. Instead of being concerned, he sends her to the vendor. Remember, who's not responsible for this? It's our elected officials. Sends her to the vendor, and the vendor pretty much kind of shoulder shrugged and waved it off and says, don't worry about it. So this is what we're dealing with here in Alabama, a red state, right, where we have, quote unquote, the gold standard, and we're having to fight our own elected officials just for verification, just to show us, okay, you're telling us that these machines are inspected and certified. Do we have to go off a wink and a nod? Apparently we do, because they're telling us that despite proving that these systems are being used in violation of state law, that we don't have standing, there's nothing we can do about it.
Has John Merrill given a statement on any of this? They're telling me no. Have you heard anything from Merrill? I mean, has he said anything about any of this publicly? Has he denounced you or said, no, this is conspiracy or anything? I mean, has he said a thing?
Oh, yeah, sure. Now, he has went on the media and said that Mike Lindell has no credibility. Again, despite us having this proof, and he has gone on various radio shows and really, Angela Shepherd really feels attacked personally. She feels belittled and attacked for making this video and coming forward and exposing what's going on with our machines here. But there's been no validation. Like I said, he's had opportunity to come in and say, look, you know, let me show the people of Alabama, let me show these litigants exactly why these machines are secure. And we've got none of that. We've got nothing from John Merrill.
Why do you suppose Alabama's attorney general is interested in discrediting Mike Lindell, who is a person who has spent millions of his own personal money to try to ensure that our nation's elections are on the up and up? Why would an attorney general have an interest in discrediting Mike Lindell?
So we have had discussions among the legal team here in Alabama as to why that is. In fact, there was even speculation and maybe wishful thinking that when we first filed our complaint, the attorney general would come on and say, you know what? They're right. The law is clear, and they have the proof that these machines are not being used the way they're supposed to be used. And he came out, and of course, he defended the Electronic Voting Committee, backed John Merrill. So that's a very good question that we don't have the answer to. Now, there's speculation that he has, his sights set one day on being governor or taking another public office. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's pretty clear in his various states that sometimes you have to be part of the club, right? If you want to stay in politics, you have to not make the right people mad. And I don't know. So that's just speculation on my part, and maybe it's another public office, but I don't know, because we have the proof. We proved our case in court. It was dismissed, but we proved that these machines are not inspected in certain time.
Yeah, I mean, part of the club. You're exactly right. I couldn't have said it better. Stu Peters and Melissa Isaac are not in that club. Who is in the club? Who's on this electronic voting committee?
So Bill English, he's actually a probate judge. So he's on the committee. We have other state senators on the committee. We have Wes Allen, who is actually the Republican nominee for Secretary of State to take over when John Merrill leaves office. So he's, you know, we had the election. He was voted in. So now we have an incumbent who is also a defendant in the case who has yet to give us any answers. There's a bunch of us that went to the Electronic Voting Committee meeting. We were not allowed to ask questions. They were allowed to make statements. I did not make a statement, being an attorney on the case, but other people did. And they were really voicing their concerns. And they were saying, listen, you know, we just because we're in Alabama, just because we're a red state, does not mean we don't have concerns about election integrity. Doesn't mean that we're still not going to be watching these machines and watching our elected officials and making sure that everything is on the up and up. And they had questions. They would not answer these questions. So who's on the electronic voting committee? They are handpicked and they are placed on this committee. But it's really disheartening that we have our next Secretary of State coming up who has yet to give us answers at all. He's on this committee and he will be sworn in the spring.
So let's just operate under the premise, just for devil's advocate's sake here. Let's just operate under the premise that we do have like fair elections, right? Which we certainly do not believe that to be the case. But let's just say that this committee was not elected. They were appointed. And who does the appointing?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if the governor does the appointing or is it the Secretary of State does the appointing. John Merrill has a representative there. But it's, yeah, they are not elected on this committee. They are appointed. I'd have to tell you exactly who does the appointing. I'm not sure. But I can tell you that the committee minutes, we looked at every single one. It really seems to be rubber stamping where they say, okay, you know, the vendor is there and the vendor says, hey, you know, these machines are good. They're trustworthy. They're reliable. And they say, okay, well, are they capable of being connected to a cellular network? They say no. And they say, okay, well, certified. These things look like they're being rubber stamped as they get pushed through this certification process. So, you know, we have laptops, Dell laptops, manufactured in China. During the hearing, we brought in the world's top hearings. We brought in DOD experts. We brought in certified hackers. We brought in people. It was their job for the DOD to do hacking. And they testified to hundreds of vulnerabilities that these systems have. But you look at the components inside these Dell laptops. The components are manufactured in China. You know, it's well known now that there are some backdoor accesses to, you know, gateways into these components inside these Dell laptops. And yet, you know, we have these laptops sent out to all the counties that are apparently just sent from Dell without any sort of, without any sort of inspection as to their overall security. We know that the Windows platform they were running on was outdated, but I can't tell you that there was so many vulnerabilities, it would scare you to actually sit through and listen to all what these experts had to say. And yet, right, with we proved every aspect of our case and they're saying, okay, well, that's all fine and good, but you don't have standing to bring a suit, which takes us back to, well, if we don't have standing, who does?
So is the lawsuit going to go forward?
So we filed a brief with the Alabama Supreme Court. And so we're waiting for the Attorney General's office to respond. We'll respond after that. And then we're hoping.
Waiting for the Attorney General of Alabama to oppose a lawsuit that would expose potential fraud in the election system in that state.
Fraud and extreme vulnerabilities, yes.
It's one of the most unbelievable things, sentences that have ever been formed to come out of my mouth. The Attorney General is going to fight against the people to ensure fair elections. That's John Merrill in Alabama. We believe that you are a hero, Melissa Isaac, as well as Mike Lindell. We support you 100%. Millions of Stu Crew will support you as well. And I would expect that John Merrill will probably hear from viewers and listeners of this audience with just really legitimate questions. Why are you doing this? What exactly are you doing this? And by the way, this is a formal invitation to John Merrill to come onto this program and explain before the people why it is that he would oppose any process that would ensure free and fair elections in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, and I also say, too, perhaps Wes Allen, because he's the one who's going to be sworn in a couple months, perhaps he would like to give an explanation as well, since he's our incumbent. He will be the next Secretary of State.
Yeah, I agree, 100%. Melissa Isaac, thank you so much for being here and for all your hard work. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, what kind of an explanation could possibly be given to justify fighting the people on free and fair elections? I hope all of you contact John Merrill in his office. Ask him that question. Protect yourself. Protect your right to vote. That's been stripped probably for decades now. Also protect everything that you've worked hard to earn and even harder to save. Get physical gold and silver from GoldCo. Call my good friends at GoldCo, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. When, just like the fake and gay voting system, everything is reset using electronic machines, checking accounts drained, savings accounts emptied, 401ks, investment accounts, IRAs, retirement accounts everywhere, just drained and reset to zero, you won't be a victim if you have gold and silver. Plus, if you mention The Stu Peters Show when you call GoldCo at 855-706-GOLD, you'll get up to $10,000 in free silver with your qualified account. Mention Stu Peters. Call GoldCo now, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. A special thanks today to OAN, the One America News Network. I got to hop over there right now for a live interview to discuss Died Suddenly. A major network will not ignore the amount of deaths that you're seeing. You can't hide a 15 to 20% increase in sudden deaths worldwide. The genocide will be televised. November 21st, 5 p.m. Eastern, Died Suddenly at StuPeters.com. Book your appointment with Carlos Cortez, the independent fiduciary that you can trust because he has the same value system as you. Book that appointment right now at CortezWM.com or give him a call in the office, 813-448-3446. How important is it to do business with somebody that you know that you can trust? You have nothing to lose, everything to gain by booking that appointment. Again, CortezWM.com or call him in the office, 813-448-3446. Same time, same place, right here tomorrow. Until then, God bless you.